There's a town in the southeast corner of the Dominican Republic that most Americans haven't heard of, that is, unless they're scouts for a Major League Baseball team. The town, San Pedro de Macorís, has two major products, sugar and baseball players. It's produced nearly 80 Major League Baseball players over the last two decades and has many asking not just what's in the water, but what's in the sugar. Mark Holansky decided to do some digging, and what he found was much more than baseball and sugar. And he details his findings in his latest book, The Eastern Stars, How Baseball Changed the Dominican Town of San Pedro de Macorís. It is published by Riverhead Books. I'm very pleased that it brings Mark Holansky back to our show today. Hi.
Hi, Leonard.
This may be the first time we've spoken on the show about something other than food. And we talked about salt, but was it sugar that brought you to San Pedro?
No, it was an interest in the Caribbean, and I've been writing about the Caribbean for more than 30 years. I used to cover it for the Chicago Tribune, and I've always had this strong sense that people never get to see the Caribbean when they go there, which is by design, not their design, but the design of the tourist industry. And so I've thought a lot about what I could do to communicate to readers the real Caribbean, because I love the Caribbean. I think the people there are so admirable, and I just wanted a way of showing Caribbean life. And for a long time, I thought that the way to do that would be to pick a town and just write a book about a town and tell its story. And then at some point, I'm not sure exactly when, it dawned on me, well, why not a town that's produced 80 Major League Baseball players?
Now, this is not the only town in the Dominican Republic that has produced top baseball players.
No, not at all.
Just the most?
Well, the most for its size. It's not, you know, it's not Santo Domingo, which is, you know, Santo Domingo has produced more, but Santo Domingo is about half the population of the Dominican Republic. This is a town, and
We're obviously baseball is an industry, a major industry. Robinson Cano, the Yankees, one of the current players.
Yeah, Alfonso Soriano, Fernando Tatis, a lot of people playing now, and a lot of old-time players, Rico Cardi and Rafael Ramirez and Tony Fernandez, Alfredo Griffin. I could go on and on.
What kind of town is it? Is it one of those dusty little towns?
It is.
A farming community?
It's on the mouth of a river. It's a port, which is why it, you know, was important to the sugar industry. And if you look around in the center of the town, you see that there's a lot of really very elegant, fine buildings from the late 19th and early 20th century when they were having their sugar boom. But you look around the town, it's easy to see that the boom is long over.
Now, the Dominican Republic shares an island with Haiti. I don't think of any baseball players coming from Haiti, maybe soccer players.
Yeah.
No soccer players from the Dominican Republic? When did baseball become popular?
You know, there's a thing in the Spanish Caribbean about that, in the 19th century, when Spain still controlled, more pronounced in Cuba, but also true in the Dominican, that if you played soccer, you were being pro-Spanish, and playing baseball was almost like an act of rebellion. This was actually even much more pronounced in Cuba than the Dominican, but it was Cubans who played a very big role in bringing baseball to the Dominican. They had these sugar mills. There were eight of them, and they were all run by either Americans or Cubans. This is in the 1880s, a time when Cubans and Americans were absolutely obsessed with this young game of baseball, and they had this workforce that was out of work for about half the year. A sugar mill is doing well if it can operate half the year. And they brought in sugar workers from the Eastern Caribbean, what was then the British West Indies, and they were cricket players. So there's all these Cuban and American baseball nuts watching their idle workers swinging bats in the field, and they said, well, let's teach them baseball. And they formed these baseball teams, and It was at a time when baseball was changing a lot, you know, the number of balls, the number of strikes, lots of new rules. My favorite rule was when they baseball made a ruling that you could no longer catch a fly ball with your hat. Gloves weren't what they are now. And, you know, these new executives would come down with all the latest rules, and they played a very high level, highly competitive, very serious baseball just between these mills.
Although I'm assuming that because so many of these people are dark-skinned, there weren't too many making it to the majors none. Until Jackie Robinson broke the color line.
None until the color line was out. The Dominican Republic is 15% white. Mostly very wealthy people who don't tend to go into professional sports. And there were a number of things that gave Dominicans their opportunity in the majors, but the first thing was dropping the color line.
Now, is this kind of similar to basketball, the role of basketball in the inner cities in America, that many people see it as a way out of?
Well, definitely. I mean, the economic opportunities aside from baseball in San Pedro are pretty stark. You work for the sugar mills, you're talking about hundreds of dollars a year, not much more in the assembly plants, not much more in jobs in tourism, being a waiter or working in a hotel, don't keep up with inflation. You have people who have struggled to feed their family. If somebody's sick, they can't afford a doctor, they can't pay for medicine. And you get one of your sons signing with Major League, even if he doesn't make it, just the signing bonus will change the life of the whole family.
Now, the book title is The Eastern Stars. That's the English version of Estrellas Orientales, right, which is the name of the older kids' team.
The professional team in the Dominican Winter League.
So what happens with a little kid? A kid starts playing at what age, generally?
Well, they start working on it when they're about three.
Uh-huh.
And how quickly do people... And you'd be amazed how well a three-year-old can swing.
And how quickly do people spot the ones who might actually have some potential?
Oh, around 12, 13, 14. I mean, now, it used to be different when they were first getting started, but now the place is just full of scouts. And you know, by the time you're 12 or 13, they start noticing.
And I'm assuming that people put a lot of pressure on themselves to do well because this is a way out of this this situation. But it's parents?
It's the salvation for the whole family. Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of pressure. But on the other hand, 3% of players who sign ever make it to the major league.
And how many even play on an American field?
I'm not sure the percentage, but there's a significant amount who get released before they ever get to the U.S. That's right, in Dominican Summer League and in the training academies. But even when you get to the U.S., your chances, you know, you don't make much money until you get to the majors. Then the average salary is $3 million a year.
Much are they signed for?
Well, it goes up and up. Now it's normal to get a few hundred thousand dollars as a signing bonus. In 2008, a pitcher not from San Pedro signed with Oakland for $4.5 million, a 16-year-old kid. Wasn't even left-handed. these bonuses are going up and up. And the only problem that the parents have is it worries them to see their sons dropping their education, dropping out of school to go into this thing that they have a 3% chance of succeeding at. And a lot of times, you know, they have dreams just like American parents of, you know, their kid becoming a doctor or something. Felipe Alou, one of the first Dominicans, wanted to be a doctor and dropped out of medical school for a few hundred dollars with the Dodgers.
And then created a baseball dynasty.
Yes, yes, which had a tremendous influence, including in San Pedro. They kind of look for these ball-playing families now. So Robinson Cano is the son of Jose Cano, who struggled because he had shoulder problems. He was a pitcher, but did make it to the major league for one season. Robinson has a brother, Jose Lito, who looks fantastic at 15, swings from both sides of the plate, has a good arm. And, you know, I really think that, you know, he's going to go somewhere. And of course, everybody's looking at him because he's one of the Canos.
Are they trained well?
They are trained well, more and more. It's a very serious thing. All of the major leagues are there. And they have programs not only training them in baseball, but training them in, you know, how to eat and take care of their bodies and how to speak English. The first thing everybody learns in English is "I've got it," which is a good thing to learn if you're playing the outfield. And you know, there's a fairly long history now going back to the early 1960s of guys from San Pedro coming to the U.S. and it's been really tough for them. The food is all strange, the language is strange, the society is strange, the racism. There's a lot of racism in the Dominican Republic, but it's a totally different kind of racism than American racism.
But then they play on some teams today that are dominated by players who speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And the New York Mets, for example.
And you know, there's
the big shock there, now is that the Mets only have one African-American player.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, there has been this tendency, and Gary Sheffield, Torrey Hunter, a bunch of people have spoken out about this. There's this tendency to view Dominicans as taking jobs away from African Americans, and it's a false conclusion. It's African Americans have gone down and down in participation, and Dominicans have gone up and up, but not because the one's taking away from the other. I've spoken to people who run programs in inner cities, and it is so hard to interest people anymore in baseball when you can get a big-paying professional contract in the NFL or the NBA right out of college.
I would imagine that if a young African-American played shortstop as well as Jose Reyes or actually one of the great Dominican players grew up in Manhattan, still Alex Rodriguez, but if you could hit as many home runs as he has, so they'd be perfectly happy to sign an African-American player, a Polish-American player.
Look, there are now slightly over 750 slots on Major League rosters, and they have trouble filling them. And there's an organization called Major League Baseball International that is going all over the world trying to develop. They're in the UK. They so far haven't found a prospect there, but you know, they're looking everywhere to get. I mean, you look at the teams that are doing well, you know, and you look at closers like Papelbon or Mariano Rivera, and you think, God, why doesn't every team have one of those guys? Because there's not many of them around.
Well, have any of the more famous players suggested that if they'd grown up someplace else, their talent might have gone unnoticed?
You mean not in San Pedro or not in the Dominican?
Yeah.
You know, I don't hear that said a lot, but it's, you know, people from San Pedro, When they get into baseball and go to a minor league team in the U.S., most of the time that's the first time they've been out of San Pedro. So they don't have a lot of sense of what goes on in the rest of the world or even in the rest of the Dominican Republic. They just know that they live in a town that's full of scouts and full of trainers and full of games.
And that Sammy Sosa went on to become a superstar. And
that his hurricane relief money never arrived in San Pedro.
The book opens with, "This is a book about what is known in America as making it, and like all such tales, it is also a story about not making it." So is that something that people in San Pedro are very aware of, that such a small percentage actually do make it? Or do they sign the bonus and think, oh, gee, the rest of my life is going to be great?
They used to. They used to. Actually, Major League Baseball now, when they give them a bonus, they say, you know, spend this well because this may be the last big money you ever make from baseball. And most of them do something for their family with it. A lot of them, if they're the first one in the family to sign with the majors, they build a house for the family. It's become obvious now because, you know, San Pedro is full of people who didn't make it. They make it at different levels. And, you know, if you play in the Dominican League, like for the Estrellas or one of the other teams.
Are they one of the better teams?
The Estrellas Orientales remind me, I'm a longstanding Red Sox fan. They remind me of the Red Sox in the old days. You know, they always start out great. And somehow through some unforeseen cataclysm managed to blow it just before the finals. Alfredo Griffin, is now the manager of the team. And everybody in San Pedro is really mad at him. They can't turn it around. They really, it's funny, they seem to be a cursed team, but Dominicans who really believe in curses, you know, the fuku it's called, they don't believe in curses in baseball. If you fail in baseball, it's bad management. It's not a curse.
You mentioned that there's a different kind of racism in the Dominican Republic than there is in this country. In what way?
Yeah, racism in the Dominican Republic is all focused on Haiti. Haiti occupied the Dominican Republic twice. And when it occupied, it occupied in a very racist way, actually. They brought in freed blacks from the U.S. to try to increase the blackness of Dominicans. And Dominicans ever since have been trying to increase their whiteness. And they're, you know, the worst thing you can be called in Dominican Republic is a Haitian, which, you know, I mean, San Pedro has lots of Haitians because they come there for the cane.
Although there was a little bit of suspicion on the Haitian side, but the Dominican Republic did try to help after the earthquake.
Yes, they did. They did. And you know, in some ways, that relationship has been getting better. But on the level of society here, I mean, I hear negative things said in the Dominican about Haitians all the time. And, you know, it's blackness. If you're really black and African looking, you do experience discrimination in the Dominican Republic. But if you're, you know, mulatto mixed, which, you know, the overwhelming majority of Dominicans are, then you're not. And then they go to the U.S., they go to the South, especially the ones who went to the South in the 60s, and they don't understand why they're being treated like they're Haitians.
Has reality set in? Are these kids less likely to expect to succeed in the future?
Well, you know, there's two sides of it. Yes, they've come to become more and more aware of how hard it is to succeed and how easy it is to get released. On the other hand, you know, the amount of money just goes up and up and up. And so there's this excitement. There's a law now that you have to be 16 and a half to sign. And so they have these auctions twice a year for everybody who's turned 16 and a half. And they're very competitive bidding and the prices go up.
Well, Mark Alesky is over 16 and a half, but he will be signing books tonight and giving a talk at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble store on 82nd Street and Broadway. His book, The Eastern Stars, How Baseball Changed the Dominican Town of San Pedro de Macorís. It is published by Riverhead Books. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Linda.